Amen. I'd like to say tonight, I thank God for this glorious privilege once again to be back here at Stony Fork. We thank God for all this good singing. My land sakes alive. I tell you what's true, fella. It's been good. It's been good. Thank God. I love old-timey ways. And look at my head, you can understand that. But thank God I like, we've heard it said many times, born in the fire and can't stand the smoke. Love this kind of church, love this kind of folks. We thank God for it. I appreciate all the Lord's done today and appreciate you being here. We do need your prayers. If you'll turn to the book of John chapter number 6, the Gospel of John chapter number 6. We praise God for all that He's done. That was some of the best singing and stuff last night. And man alive, I'm telling you what's true. Steve talked to my brother a while ago. If you'll stand for just a moment, he asked me how it went. I said, I had a ball. Somebody told me one time, said, you ain't supposed to have fun to be a Christian. I said, man, I didn't start having fun until I got saved. Thank God. It's been joyous. It's been glorious, thank God. I mean, it just gets better and better. There's an old fella in Haywood County, used to be, his name slipped my mind right quick-like, but Brother Joe, whatever his last name was, and Joe had come around to all the churches. And when we first got in, he'd come up to Meadow Grove and he'd come to Center Pigeon and places. And old Joe would sit there and it'd get on a little bit and he'd go, Didn't have a tune in his head, but man, he'd say, And boy, when he said that about the third or fourth time, thank God you better get out of his way. Amen. Because it was tasting good. In the Gospel of John chapter number 6, verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Jesus didn't ask him how much it was going to cost. He said, whence, where? Philip answered him, we just ain't got enough money. And that just sort of struck me today. There's a lot that could be said about it. But then he said, and 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them unto them that had eaten. I'd like to speak to you just a little bit in John chapter 6 tonight. It's very familiar scripture, very familiar territory. There's much that could be said. And the Bible said that Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, and which is the Sea of Tiberias, which is the same sea. And I remember in 1995, we had the honor and the privilege to go to Israel. And we were there at Tiberias, and we stayed in a hotel. I don't remember what the name of it was. But anyway, the next morning we went down and got on a boat. And we were going to cross the sea with just like Jesus had done. And anyway, well, we came to a spot, and the guide pointed, and he said, right there is the place where Jesus fed the 5,000. And whether it really was or not, I don't know. But thank God it was something just to look at it. But on this day, we find that there is a crowd. There's a crowd there. There's 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There was a crowd. There were too many. there was a crowd and they were too hungry. They had been there all day long. The Bible said that Jesus taught them. And as the day drug on, the hunger pains began to get a hold of them. And we all know a little bit about being hungry. We all understand that to an extent. But there was the 5,000. They were hungry, plus the women and the children. And Jesus asked the question, "Whence shall we buy bread that these all may eat?" And in this scripture, we find just a few things by way of introduction. First of all, in about verse number 7, the disciples, they overestimated their poverty. Sure, we're poor. There ain't nothing wrong being poor. There's more of us than there are them. It ain't no shame to be poor. Thank God that ain't no bad mark on anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. These fellers was walking with the Son of God. These folks were running with the one that creator and the upholder of the universe. These fellers, thank God they were walking, listening and talking, fellowshipping with the Son of Almighty God. These fellas was walking with someone, thank God, that owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters that's in the hills. Thank God they were with someone. He created the universe. Thank God he knows where every little bit of gold dust is. I mean, he knows it all. And it's all at his disposal. And so the disciples, they looked at their poverty. And they overestimated just how poor they were. Now, I don't doubt that these were poor men. But oh, thank God, they weren't there because of their wealth. They weren't there because of what they didn't have. They were there, thank God, because of Jesus. They were there with the Lord. And so, Jesus asked the question. And when Jesus asked the question, he already knew what he was going to do. So that was the crowd. There was too many. There were disciples. They overestimated their poverty. But there was a little boy, a young lad. This young lad had left home that morning. And thank God he left home with just enough to have a little bit of a dinner. And he had been there all day. Just remember, them people wasn't the only ones as hungry. This little fellow was hungry too. And so, Jesus asked the question. And the reason that he asked the question is because he knew what he would do. Aren't you glad you serve a God tonight? He never been took by surprise. When God created Adam, and he created Eve and made a helpmeet for Adam, God knew what was going to take place. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to fall in the garden. God knew that. You say, how did God know it? He knows everything. Thank God. If he didn't, he couldn't be God. But he knew that Adam and Eve would fall in the garden. And so the devil, in his spaced out mind, he's got it and had it for years that he was going to trip up God. He was going to mess up God's plan. He was going to get ahead of God. And the whole time, God's been so far ahead of the devil, he'll never catch up. Amen. The devil, he leaves him in the smoke and he's chasing his tail while God's moving on. Amen. And this is the God Almighty that we serve tonight. And so God knew that Adam and Eve would fall. God already had a plan. He knew that there would be either one or two. I don't know exactly how many there were, Brother Jeff, but I know that God took the life of an animal and shed its blood. And God, thank God, hit that blood. And then he gave its skin, its coat, and God made a covering for Adam and Eve. You see, God knew. And so, some, what, 4,000? A little over 4,000 years later, God still didn't get caught by surprise. You say, but preacher, you don't know how fast things can come up. I know it. I'm just a young boy. I'm just 64 years old. In about 3 weeks, I'll be 65. Somebody asked me, they said, wouldn't you like to be young again? I said, there ain't no way in this world. I don't go through that junk no more. Thank God I'm tickled to death. Amen. I'm 64, nearly 65, tickled to death with it. And thank God having the best time I've ever had in my life. I found out the closer you walk with God, amen, the more real God becomes to you. Amen. You can go to bed at night, and if you wake up and can't sleep, you just go ahead and talk to Him a while. Thank God. Oh, what a glory it is. Amen. But Jesus, He had a plan. He knew what He would do. So Philip answered Him. I can almost imagine. They got over and run the books. When I went to Haywood, we called it Haywood Tech back in the 60s, I took business administration because I wanted to be somebody. And I took accounting and stuff like that. I couldn't tell you nothing about accounting today. But I remember one quarter we had the introduction to accounting. And I told my wife, I said, I know what we need to do. I said, we just don't have enough money to spend. She said, what do you suggest? I said, I'm going to bring my journal and I'm going to run our family like it's a business. She said, all right. I said, I'm going to allow this much for this. I'm going to allow that much for that. And at the end of it, we'll run it like a business and we'll save some money. By the first month, she said, well, if we're going to do this right, she said, you need to go to the grocery store. I said, I don't know nothing about going to the grocery store. She said, go on down there and get what you want. I went down there and I didn't get hardly nothing. Brought that back. She said, where's the grocery? I said, right there they are. I said, got everything I thought we needed. Before the month was over, Brother Bill, I took that journal. And I'd already finished that class, so I didn't need it. And I found out I didn't have much of a future in accounting. But my wife knew more about running a house. And thank God from that moment on, I said, honey, I'll do my best to make it. Thank God if I can bring it in, you take care of spending it. And brother, she's been good at it. Amen. But thank God, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have a pot nor a winder. But God Almighty, He gave her a talent. And brother, that woman, I don't know how she's done it. But anyway, these fellas, they got the ledger out. And they begin to figure. And they come up and they said, hey, wait a minute. We ain't got but 200 penny worth. That's 200 days of labor. And that ain't enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. We don't know what to do. They did one thing right. They did come to Jesus. They did tell Him. The best thing you ever do with your life is tell Jesus. But Philip said, 200 penny worth is not sufficient. That everyone may take a little. So many, much in this. But this is, I'm just trying to get a little introduction. And so Andrew, he's surveying the crowd. And there's a little old boy standing there. Probably had it in a goat skin bag. And a lot of us that's past 50, we understand carrying a sandwich or two to school. We understood carrying a bologna sandwich to work. You remember old Crown Burger, Charlie? It's Jew, me and him worked with. Old Crown Burger would bring two slices of old stale bread, one of the thinnest pieces of bologna, beef bologna, because he's Jewish. And he would eat that and drink water. And somebody said, Crown Burger, why don't you get you something at the cafeteria? Oh, he said, I can't do that. And brother, he'd sit there, he'd eat that bologna sandwich, drink that water, and you'd leave a little something in your plate. He said, "You go, what you going to do with that?" Didn't he? He'd clean everybody's plate out. I don't know how much money he saved, but he never got a chance to clean mine out. You say, why? I was bringing the same lunch he was. But it wasn't to save money. That's about all we could afford. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. Old Philip, they said, That's not going to be sufficient. That everyone may take a little. But Andrew said, there's a boy here. Thank God there's a lad right here. And he's got his lunch. And he said he's got 5 barley loaves. They tell me that barley was horse food, cow food, more than it was human food. This was poor people's rations. Sort of like hog feet was to us growing up. Fat back in the pinto beans. We used to have meat just about every day. If Mom fixed beans, we had the fat back. And we divided it up 7 ways. I'm not exaggerating. My daddy worked in an old fertilizer plant. And I wouldn't take nothing for it. I hate it from mom and dad. But I tell you what, my grandmother, she fixed them hog feet one time a week, every week. And they kept telling her, they said, Janie said, that hog feet's going to kill you. And said, not only that, but you're giving them to that boy. She died at 101 and a half. You know what I finally made up my mind? I said, give me some more of them hog feet, thank God. Amen. I don't know them knuckles. Oh, Andrew said, he said, only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Then he said, but what are they among so many? Hey, let me tell you something. Thank God they wasn't much. That little boy didn't have much. But thank God he was willing to give it all. Hey, everything that he had, he gave it to Jesus. What you are, it's because of Jesus. What you've got, it's because of Jesus. Who you are, it's because of Jesus. I didn't make myself a Caucasian. I'm going to bring one of the best friends I ever had in this world tomorrow night, Lord willing. His name is Dennis Lee Bryson. Me and Dennis Lee worked in that paper mill together for years. Old Chris will remember him. And I used to pray for old Dennis. I'd witness to Dennis. We was in a labor crew together. Old Dennis would just cry. And he said, preacher, he said, if I ever do get right, he said, I'm going to get right and I ain't going to turn wrong. And I'd say, Dennis, son, it ain't a matter of you turning one way or the other. And all through them years, I'd pray for him and pray with him. And his family would come and eat dinner with us. And we'd go to their house. And me and him was worked together all of years. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was on number 11 paper machine. Old Dennis come running up the back of the machine. He was a hollering preacher. And about that time, I said, hey, here I am. He run up through there. He throwed them big old arms around me. He said, preacher, you told me it was. I said, what? He said, you told me it was good. I said, what do you mean, Dennis? He said, I got saved. And he said, preacher, I couldn't wait to tell you. And thank God, oh my goodness sakes alive, what a time we've had. Hey, in the Lord, thank God. Amen. It's just got better and better and better. But there's that boy. He didn't have much. But what he had, he gave it to Jesus. Let me get real quickly. First of all, the providence of God had that boy in the right place at the right time. Somebody said one of the great miracles was this, is that that boy carried that lunch all day and hadn't eaten it. You know, 10 o'clock snack. But God had that little boy there because God knew. Amen. You say, what does providence mean? That means God ruling and overruling in our lives. There's a woman by the name of Esther. You remember what Mordecai said to her? For you were born for such a time as this. Yes. You see, Esther was born just at the right time. Vashti has been dethroned. Now Esther becomes the queen. And Mordecai has a death sentence on him by a fellow by the name of Haman. And brother, let me tell you, God in His providence is working. He got the right person. Thank God, not in the outhouse. Amen. But he got her right in the throne room. Amen. And she finally realized not only is Haman going to kill the Jews, but I'm one of them and I'm going to die too. And she said, I'm going before the king. Thank God. And she went before the king. She said, if I die, I die. It don't matter because I'm going. And brother old Esther, thank God she made a good report. And God Almighty threw it all. Haman got hanged on his own gallows. His family got hanged on the gallows. And old Mordecai, thank God he got dressed up in royalty. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, you're here tonight. You're not here just because you didn't have nothing else to do. I believe with all my heart that God somehow touched your heart. Amen. It may have been in a thought in your mind. It may have been somebody invited you. But brother, let me tell you, God Almighty got you here. Amen. He had this little boy there. He's standing in the crowd, minding his own business. But God had him at the right place at the right time. Jesus, the Bible said, he took his lunch when he reached out his hands, that little boy, give it to him. Now that little boy, and I ain't going by, you know how you think you'll do something, but that little boy, Brother Jeff, didn't have a clue what he was getting in on. Jesus took that lunch, but he gave it all. He didn't give him some of it. So like we are sometimes, you know, God says, I went to St. Martin one time. We was over there. And Bob Hagin, he'd went to St. Eustatia to preach. I'd come back from St. Eustatia, preached at Good News Baptist Church that Wednesday night, went up to the little old apartment up there, had a tape by old Jack Hiles, and the name of the tape was Duty. And anyway, I listened to that tape about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I was laying up under that bed. I mean, I love God. I wanted God to have His way in my life. But that night, God touched my heart and God began to speak to me and He said, what if? What if? What if I call you the mission field? What are you going to do? I said, Lord, I get to pastor my mama. I get to pastor my mother-in-law. I get to pastor, I've had the privilege to pastor my sisters. I've had the privilege, thank God, to pastor family and stuff. I said, Lord, I sure do like it. He said, but what are you going to do? In a little while, I said, Lord, amen, I'll go wherever you want me to. God, please, just Lord, let me have your way. God, just let me be in your will. Amen. I said, you can have the family. God said, what about your job? He said, are you willing to quit your job? Hey, let me tell you something. I thought in a few minutes, I thought, man alive, I tell you, you're asking a hard thing, Lord. We talked about that last night. In a little while, I said, Lord, and I get back home, if you want that job, if you touch my heart, it won't be because somebody else told me, but God, if you tell me to quit that job, I said, I'll turn my resignation in. Amen. And when I got back home, you know what God said? He said, go ahead and keep working. He did. Just a little while before I retired, and I'm not getting in the message as good as what I wanted, but there's a fella. His name is Eddie. Eddie called me while I was working at the waste treatment. Eddie called me that morning on my cell phone or meal radio, and he said, Rabbi, he said, you're going to come across the river. I said, I don't know, Eddie. I said, got a lot going on here. He said, I want you to come by my shop. I said, I'll try to get over a little bit. I got busy, and a little while he called me back. He said, are you not going to come over here? I said, just let me finish. He said, you've got to get over here now. I said, all right. I said, let me just tie up what I've got tore up here. I said, I'll be right over. I went in the shop, went on out there and got in one of the old shop trucks and drove it over to the mill. I said, where are you going to be? He said, I'll be in my shop. I drove up through there on the back side of the mill. An old lady was standing outside the door of that old shop that he had his legs crossed, and he was standing there. And I drove up and I said, Eddie, what's wrong? I thought maybe something was wrong with his family or something. He said, preacher, he said, I've been waiting on you all morning. He said, I need to get saved. He said, I've been wanting you over here so you can pray with me. And I said, Eddie, I said, God could save you without me. He said, I know He could, but He said, you've been witnessing to me. He said, we've been friends. And he said, I want you there when I get born. And thank God, I was at the birth. Amen. And we shouted and cried and hugged and thank God had a glorious hallelujah time. And we testified a little bit. And I said, now, Eddie, I'm enjoying this, but I got to go back to work. So I went on back to the waste treatment plant and done whatever I was supposed to be doing. But you see, I always wanted to quit there. I wanted, from the time I got saved, I wanted to be what they call full-time. And I didn't have enough sense to know, if you pastor a church, I don't care if you've got two jobs besides your full-time. How many days you miss work going to church business? How many times you ever have to leave the job? You said, hey, Mr. Bossman, I'll be back. I got to go to the hospital. Where people I work for, thank God, they say, go on. Every now and then a boss man would come through and he'd say, we got a fellow over here at St. Joe's, says, got a brain tumor. Said, how about you going? I said, okay. I said, let me punch out. He said, don't you punch out. He said, I'll take care of you. He said, you just get over to that hospital. I got over. His little boy had a brain tumor, died a little bit later. But when I look back at those years in that mill, and I think back about Dennis, and I think back about old Eddie Riddle, and I think back about a fellow named Steve Norris, and I look back over those years, and the whole time I was whining, I said, God, why can't I just pastor a church? Why, I didn't mind working, but Lord, I'd love to be out there. It was meetings I couldn't go to, places I couldn't go. And God said, when you're going to quit whining. And when it come down to the closing days, I look back at it and I said, glory be to God. I wouldn't have done it no different short of the world. Amen. Because God had me at the right place at the right time. Because God had some folks that needed us to hear somebody that knew something about getting right with God. They needed to know that they were somebody, thank God, in the world that would live for the Lord even on the job. But he had God's providence. And when all the attentions broke open, it wasn't enough. Has the devil ever told you, why do you try? Has the devil ever told you, you're nobody? You don't even count. You know why he tells you that? Because he knows by the grace of God you do count. He knows by the grace of God you can. Psalm 78, those Jews said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? We answered that question and said, God can. In fact, the psalmist answered that question. Let me tell you something. The devil's a liar. And brother, anytime he tells you that you can't do it, the best thing to do with him, say, you're right, Mr. Devil, I can't. But I thank God I know somebody can. Amen. That used to tire me up. The devil would tell me how low down and bring up my past. And man, it just worried me. And oh my goodness sakes alive. Finally one night I settled it. I said, Lord, I said, I can remember it and I'm ashamed of it. But I said, Lord, according to what you said in your Bible, I'll never have to give an account for it. And God, it's under the blood. Amen. And I went on to sleep like the little girl. She got tired of the devil jumping on her. She opened her Bible to Romans 8 and opened it up. Laid it down at the foot of the bed and said, here, devil, you read it. I'm going to sleep. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Real quickly, these loaves got in a... Now, this is a little boy. Give all he had to Jesus. And he gave these loaves and they got in the right position. They got in Jesus' hand. That's where you are tonight. You may be the one. He's got his hand out. Just wanting you to say, I surrender all. And Jesus took what that little boy had. It weren't much. I'm reminded of just a moment or two, if you don't mind if I reminisce just a minute. When we was growing up, our daddy worked at a fertilizer plant. Our daddy drank quite a bit through the years. He'd get in and he'd get out because that was a doctrine that they preached where he'd get in at. And if he messed up, he'd get out, go back to drinking. Seven kids, worked every day of the week, brought the money home, kept out enough to buy him a few beers. And family wouldn't come to our house. If they wanted my daddy to know something, they would send their children. And they would stand up at the road. We lived under the bank in an old house on Hogpen Branch. And they would holler until some of us had come to the door. And they'd say, Daddy said to tell Ken. And we'd go give Dad the message. We couldn't understand why they'd do it. But I can understand now, I guess. They all had kids our age. And they tried to keep them away from us because they said, them three boys of Kenneth will be in prison before they're old enough for anything. We did get in some trouble. But then somebody told me that God loved me. And I believed them. And I asked the Lord to save me. And I remember that night on that paper machine, I said, God, I don't know how to pray. I didn't know what you're supposed to say. All I know was, God, you're going to have to help me. And let me tell you something. If you're here and you're lost and you get up to come forward to get saved, when your heart settles it, I believe that's the moment that God does the birthing. You just come on up here and thank God, go through the motions, but you're already His because He saw faith. But I remember when we was just, like I said, just coming along, and family members wouldn't let us, they didn't want us around our own cousins. Because I said, them boys ain't going to be nothing but trouble. That's all they know. They ain't nothing but trouble. Then when God saved us, saved Steve in December. I got saved in September. I got saved in December. When we got saved, the family started calling and said, how about getting you fellas to go see Mike? Could you spend a little more time with Ricky? You think you fellas could go over yonder and see them? And we said, sure. And we went to them cousins. And all of a sudden, we had family members. They said, come and see us. One of them had a big home in Montgomery, Alabama. Looked like a Holiday Inn. Had about eight or nine bedrooms in it. Owned two furniture factories. He invited us in and he said, won't you come spend a weekend with us? Had a swimming pool and you didn't even have to dam the creek up to get it. And man, we drove down there, me and my wife and Steve and Pat and our kids, and we laid around that place for about 3 or 4 days and they grilled us steak and stuff. And brother, we'd sit around and they'd say, you boys, you just don't know how proud we are young of you fellas we are, and we want you to pray for us. And I said, what a change. But the change come because of this. Not that we become good, but thank God when we come, we just give it all to Jesus. That's all we know to do. And brother, I said, Lord, I can't preach. God, I can't do nothing. You found out last night I can't sing. But I said, Lord, hey, what I am, God, take me and use me. And I look back over my life, Brother Bill, and I see God's hand. Amen. I look back and I say, Lord, you brought us so far. Amen. Can you imagine all that God has done just simply because we got the right position? We got where Jesus got in His hand. And God's mightily used us. No talent. Still as ignorant as ever. Somebody asked me one day, they said, why do you and Steve talk mountain talk? I said, because we're mountain people. I was in Mexico a few years ago, and we was down there in Cancun for a few days, and people say, how does they say, aloha or something? When they say hello, yeah. I can't remember. See, I really pay attention. And I'd say, howdy, Higgins are doing? And they'd look at me like, where'd you come from? But I look back and I see what God's done, brother. If my life ends tomorrow, I wouldn't take nothing for the journey now. These loaves of bread, they got in the right place. And God's desires for every human being to know Him and the free pardon of sin. God loves you. You say, preacher, you don't know how low down I've been. Let me tell you something. My friend, I've been in a lot of that stuff. I've been in a lot of places, almost sent off in a lot of other things. Growing up, been in and out of courtrooms and stuff. And brother, I'll tell you what, it ain't no fun to stand before a judge. Oh my, knowing that man, he's got a hammer, and all he's got to do is take that hammer and say, I'm going to give you 5 years. I got an old buddy by the name of Leon White. Old Leon. And anyway, old Leon, we went to school together. He got in trouble. Him, a bunch of them, and they all went to court, and each one of them got and said, your honor, if you just have mercy on me, I won't do that no more. The judge said, okay, so I'm going to give you a year's probation. Come Leon's time, the judge said, son said, what do you think I'll do with you? He said, just make it light on yourself, judge. He said, okay, give you 3 years of reform school. He took him down east. He said, they beat me the first day and they beat me the last day. He got saved. Now he's saved. Thank God. I said, Leon, what did you learn from that? He said, I learned to ask for mercy. Let me hurry real quickly. But you see, these loaves got in the right place. They belonged to him, but he gave them to Jesus. You say, preacher, I can't sing. I'm not smart. Some of the greatest Christians I've ever known couldn't read their name on boxcar letters. They love Jesus. I used an old fella who lived in Haywood years ago. Couldn't read and write, and he got saved, and he's playing with his mules. One day playing a patch up, and he stopped and he said, Lord, he said, God, I can't read. And he said, I don't know what's right and what ain't. And he said, you're going to have to give me a touch. He said, I don't know what to really believe, and I know who's preaching right. He said, old man, Brother Odear was his name, and God touched him, and old dear, he said, I stomped down what corn was already come up, circled around that old mule 4 or 5 times, and he said he run around in front of that old mule, grabbed it by the check rein, and thank God just pulled that thing up and kissed it right in the mouth. Amen. And when old brother old dear went home with the Lord a few years ago, he was still shouting, and that old man believed right. Thank God, never had read the Bible, but brother, he knowed the Bible. You say, how come? Because he got in the hands of Jesus. Thank God. And when you get in the hands of Jesus, God will make your life complete. Amen. God Almighty, there's no telling what God could do with me and you if we'll just let him have his precious way.
Amen.
I got voted in as assistant superintendent of Sunday school at Meadow Grove years ago. And we hadn't been around church a whole lot. And we was going home, and I said to Margaret, I said, you believe that? She said, what? I said, I'm an officer in the church. I said, they made me assistant superintendent of Sunday school. I said, you know, I get to go to them meetings when they have them meetings now. Deacons meetings and stuff. I didn't know no different. And I was excited. Well, a few Sundays later, the school superintendent said to me, he said, Kenneth, I'm going to be gone. He said, I want you to open up a Sunday school. So I had an old Schofield Bible I'd ordered when we first got right with the Lord. And I was trying to remember, what was I supposed to do? What was the order? So I got that old Bible that's still at the house, and I wrote down, welcome, pray, birthdays, anniversaries, Bible verse, go to Sunday school. I got up there that morning, Brother Jeff, and I was shaking all over. And I got down on that outline, and I got down through there. And brother, let me tell you something. I was so excited, thank God. I was so scared, I was so nervous, like I am right now, like I was before I got here tonight, like I was last night, like I was yesterday morning going to Curly. You say, why do you get nervous and scared? I know, brother, don't we? We know that we're dealing in eternal matters. We're not playing games, thank God. Oh, we're dealing with men's souls. We're dealing with the love of God Almighty. And friend, we must, thank God, see the importance of the mission that we're on. Let me hurry real quickly. They belonged to him, but he gave them to the Lord. The Lord accepted them. And then they were blessed by the Lord. Thank God. Can you imagine? Here's the thing. They were increased by Christ. When you get in, God tells us we're brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's just like a brand new little baby. My son and his wife just had a new baby down in Spartanburg. I've only got to see him twice. My wife gets to see him every other weekend. She says, well, he's been calling me. He ain't but 2 or 3 months old. I said, no, he's calling me. You're just mistaken. Man, I remember going to that hospital that day when that little fella was born. We've got 7 other grandkids. Done the same thing with each one of them. I just looked at him in amazement. So I sat down the other day and I wrote him a letter. And one of these days I'm going to give it to his daddy. I wrote all my grandkids' letters. Thank God. Because if I die before they ever get to tell them everything, I sat down and just told them a little bit about how good God had been. They was all over there for just a year or two back, and we was playing ball down the field, and we got through playing ball and started up the old driveway, and I said, wait a minute, kids. I said, we need to have a huddle. And them grandkids, they all huddled up, and we put our arms around each other, and I began to tell them how much I loved them and how much I thanked God for them and how much I was praying for them and begging them to, you know, to get down to business with God and please live your life for the Lord. Don't let the devil mess you up. And I just begged with them for about 15 minutes. And anyway, in a few minutes, I said, okay. I said, let's pray. And we prayed, and I said, okay, we're going to break the huddle up. I said, everybody go about your business. Thank God. And you know what? I got one of them. She's in college now. She said, Papa, I remember that huddle. Thank God. I said, honey, when you're 50 years old, you remember that huddle. Because if you put your hands in the hand of Jesus, if you put your life in the hands of Jesus, when you're 70, 80 years old, thank God there'll never be regret. I've never heard anybody on their deathbed dying saved that said, I hate that I ever lived for Jesus. But I've heard people say, I hate that I wasted my life. But they were increased by the Lord. And let me hurry real quickly. Here's what happened to them. There was a lot of misery that was removed because of them. I've known Bill Bryson since, what, the 70s, I guess? Bingham Heights over there when Steve came over there. Bill Bryson's been a part of our family, for him and Miss Peggy, for, Lord, I don't know how long. And I know they, like me, they've been through a few rough places. Had some hard times. Seen a few things that I'm sure their hearts have been broken like most of the rest of us. Things that they've been through. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you ask Bill Bryson tonight, and you ask Miss Peggy tonight, and you say, was it worth it? Was it worth it? I'll guarantee you with a resounding yes, it was worth it. Thank God. If you are not saved and you get saved, not only will you be relieved of misery, but all the people that you come in contact with, because your desire, your message from that day forward, to try to get somebody else to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, what does God want? He just wants you. Somebody said, preacher, he wants my billfold. No, he don't want your billfold. He wants your heart. If you get your heart, that billfold will follow. It shows the world. Thank God. One of the greatest things that ever happened to you is the day that you put your life in Jesus' hands. And so, they were all filled. The little boy relieved a lot of misery, this bread. And what I love about it, this bread, there was a record made of it. You got it in John 6. John said, and I saw the books. They're open. He saw the book of life. There's a Lamb's book. And Bill, that night on that graveyard shift working on 13 paper machine, about 1 o'clock in the morning, he wrote my name down in the Lamb's book of life. That's when I became his child. And brother, my name cannot be erased. I've been his child. Oh, thank God, since those days. But God was on my trail. Young man, I admire you. He's wanting to be a chaplain in the military. I'm going to pray God will just bless him. And there ain't no telling how many of them foxholes. Somebody's going to be able to need something about Jesus. And you'll be the one. But oh, my goodness sakes alive. All that God's done. You see, this little boy, he didn't just relieve a lot of misery, but he got blessed himself. He got back more than he ever gave. He got back more than he ever gave. Somebody told me one day they was giving me a senior's discount at McDonald's when I was in my 40s. You said, did it make you mad? No, I like getting coffee that cheap. I'm a Reinhardt. Fella told me the other day, he said, you don't look like you're a day over 75. I said, I'm not over 75. Somebody asked Steve, said, who's oldest? You're Sonny. And if they don't ask, I put them up to it. But I'm older than Steve. But when you look back at your life, and what a joy it's been. Going to church, I ain't never woke up on Sunday morning and say, where in the world was I at last night? What did I do? I ain't never popped another top. Because I'm drinking all the new wine I can. Thank God. It's just a flood. Amen. But when Jesus got a hold of this meal, it was sufficient. And you'll find in life that Jesus is sufficient for every need.